Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today I want to ask you if you have ever met a Chinese trooper. This is part four of the Great Reset, and it focuses on China. Have you ever met a Chinese trooper? If not, then you soon will, and it won't be pretty. Dear listener, I ask you this question because it brings home, personally and dramatically, how completely China has taken over America. Chinese troops will be on the streets of America in the future. It may not feel like it yet to you. It may not seem like it yet to you. But in the coming months and years, under the Joe Frauden administration, China will be making its presence felt more and more. Joe Frauden is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. He is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Chinese Communist Party. It cannot be otherwise. And if we Americans were the least bit aware in the general public, why, we would see the gradual, almost imperceptible grip that China has placed around our throats. It is the centerpiece, in fact, of the Great Reset, of which we have been speaking over the last few weeks. That's why we highlight it here today in this entire broadcast. This ubiquitous presence is more than the Made in China label stamped on everything from your ink pen to your ink cartridge, from your kid's toy Toyota to the Toyota Corolla sitting in your driveway, from your Staten Island lead figure of the Statue of Liberty to your statin drugs for high cholesterol. All of these products and millions more are now made in China. Peter Navarro, who was a consultant to President Trump, and famously in his book from 2007, The Coming China Wars, Peter Navarro calls China the world's factory floor. Since over the decades, product manufacturing has shifted from developed Western nations like the United States or Germany and Japan to China. Ross Perot's famous forecast of a giant sucking sound of jobs out of the United States to other nations under NAFTA. That was under NAFTA. That was back in the 90s. You remember the North American Free Trade Agreement. Well, it took on dramatic proportions as companies like Apple found it many orders of magnitude cheaper to move manufacturing operations from California to China. China has ambitions greater than becoming economically successful, though. An integral part of the Great Reset. That is what we're talking about, umbrella-wise. The Great Reset, an integral part, is seeing to it that the next century is the Chinese century, about Chinese superiority of race and culture. One defense minister, Chi Hao-tian, remarked in a speech given to the Central Committee of the Communist Chinese Party back in 2005. He said, Comrade He Xin put it in his report to the Central Committee in 1998. If the fact is that the center of leadership of the world was located in Europe as of the 18th century and later shifted to the United States in the mid-20th century, then, in the 21st century, the center of leadership of the world will shift to the east of our planet. And the east, of course, mainly refers to China, unquote. The speech that Minister Qi gave to the Central Committee of the Communist Chinese Party in 2005 was, of course, intended for private consumption and was never meant to be published in the West, but it has been. That is why he was very frank and, in several sections, brutal. And Qi reflects the thinking of scholars in both East and West when he says, and I quote, if we refer to the 19th century as the British century and the 20th century as the American century, then the 21st century will be the Chinese century. To understand conscientiously this historical law and to greet the advent of the Chinese century is the historical mission of our party, unquote. This special sense of Oriental manifest destiny is more than a handful of deluded Chinese leaders making themselves feel good about what they are and what they're doing. No, They are executing a patient long-term vision for a revitalized Chinese race, a race which they see as being in every way superior to all others on Earth. Unlike any other civilization on Earth, Qi points out, they have had an unbroken culture and history of over 5,000 years that Qi actually estimates can be traced back 8 to 10,000 years. And he notes, and I quote, "We all know that on account of our national superiority during the thriving and prosperous Tang Dynasty, our civilization was at the peak of the world. We were the center of the world civilization, and no other civilization in the world was comparable to ours," unquote. That's the hubris of the Communist Chinese Party today. And as Qi speculates, it was only because of complacency over the centuries that China fell behind, but owing to the labors of the Chinese Communist Party, is now rousing itself to its proper place on the world stage. So, dear listener, remember, with this historical perspective, just imagine having this historical perspective, the Chinese are moving in typical Oriental fashion and thinking in terms of decades and centuries to achieve their goals, not in terms of the next quarter's profits, like so many in the West. As long as we continue to think short-term, we in the United States and in the broader West will be susceptible to easy manipulation on their part. This long-term thinking leads them to strategies and tactics, too, that we see in play in our world. If we would just wake up and see the strategies and tactics of China, and see it most importantly for us right here in the good old U.S. of A. And those tactics are four, primarily. I want to outline four of them for you. Number one, the Communist Chinese Party plans on defeating one enemy at a time. One enemy at a time. This is a principle well established from the Sun Tzu principles in his The Art of War. And Qi maintains that conquerors like Napoleon and Hitler fought on too many fronts and tried to defeat all of their enemies at once. Following the sage advice of Sun Tzu, the Communist Chinese Party will take its time in assuredly defeating its enemies one at a time. And for China and the Communist Chinese Party leadership, the number one enemy is America, leader of the Western nations, and from whose century the world has just emerged. Qi rather dryly refers to the threat posed by the United States of America as the issue of America, quote unquote, the issue of America. Secondly, the second strategy and tactic is number two, patience and perseverance will temper China's attitude towards advance. Patience and perseverance. China sees itself as a collective where no single leader must achieve world domination within his own lifetime. This, in part, was the fatal flaw of men like Alexander the Great or Julius Caesar or Adolf Hitler. They all sought personal glory and world domination within their lifetime. Qi calls them, and I quote, "too impetuous," lacking the patience and perseverance required for great accomplishments, unquote. Thirdly, then, the Chinese Communist Party holds forth as a strategy and tactic. Number three, military action should be the last action in war, not the first. Oh, very wise of them. Military action should be the last action in war, not the first. And once more, this is a deeply embedded principle of Sun Tzu from his The Art of War. And Sun Tzu says, and I quote, "the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting," unquote. Oh, very wise. This means that one uses tools other than the sword to subdue one's enemy. Things like economic domination, political intrigues, and efforts to deceive and demoralize the enemy. Sun Tzu taught that if a leader resorted to military action before exhausting these other avenues, he had failed, not being patient enough. Oh, behold the strategy of China before your eyes, dear listener. And then fourthly, finally, number four, in terms of strategies and tactics, number four, when military action is finally taken, it must be swift and brutal. Sun Tzu taught this as well. When military action is finally taken, it must be swift and brutal. It's not as if Sun Tzu and the Communist Chinese Party disciples are wilting lilies who are dragged kicking and screaming to military action. Oh, no. At the right time, the enemy must be slaughtered without mercy. Chi, in critiquing Hitler and the Nazis, says of them, and I quote, "When the time came for them to be ruthless, they turned out to be too soft, therefore leaving troubles that resurfaced later on." Unquote. Did you catch that, dear listener? To General Chi, Hitler and the Nazis were too soft on their enemies. Oh, we in the West, in America, think, of course, they were brutal, but not according to the Chinese. Chi then goes on to catalog the millions of lives that were sacrificed to achieve and sustain the revolution, and he writes it off as the cost of doing business. And I quote Chi once again from his speech. He says, "In Chinese history, in the replacement of dynasties, the ruthless have always won and the benevolent have always failed," unquote. Oh, brutality recommended right here. This is doubly true of China's approach to America. Once again, I quote Xi. "Therefore, we must emphasize the importance of adopting resolute measures." That's a euphemism for brutality. He goes on to say, "In the future, the two rivals, China and the United States, will eventually meet each other in a narrow road, and our leniency to the Americans will mean cruelty toward the Chinese people," unquote. Ah, we will meet China in a narrow road. And he goes on to explain that euphemism too as well. So, dear listener, whether you realize it or not, comrade, we are already at war with China, though the shooting hasn't started yet. And that won't happen until the very last, if at all, right? We might well be defeated without any military measures, because presently America is so distracted and oblivious. We spend so much time at our sporting events and on our devices that China is well on her way to subduing America without a fight, as Sun Tzu puts it. In fact, until recently, most Americans have a very positive outlook towards the Chinese, which is largely due to the patient, benevolent demeanor of the Chinese and the glowing picture painted by our politicians, too, and businessmen who are bought and paid for agents of the Chinese Communist Party. That positive attitude reached a high of 53% of Americans in 2017, according to a Gallup poll. But of course, it has since declined to 33% positive, losing 20 points there in light of Trump's highlighting of China's ruthless trade policies, and especially since the introduction of the China virus and its terrible consequences, owing once more not to the virus itself, always remember this, not to the virus itself, but because of the hysterical, heavy-handed measures taken in response to it. Americans have become wary of China in this regard, despite the mainstream media's attempt to label anyone as racist for criticizing the Chinese or the Chinese Communist Party. There is good reason for caution and suspicion. The Chinese Communist Party sees the foolishness of mutually assured destruction through atomic weapons. Instead, as Chi says, only by using non-destructive weapons that can kill many people will we be able to reserve America for ourselves. There has been rapid development of modern biological technology, Chi says. And he goes on to say, and new bioweapons have been invented one after another. This was in 2005 he was saying these things. He goes on to say, we are capable of achieving our purpose of cleaning up America. All of a sudden, we made the right decision not to develop aircraft carrier groups and focus instead on developing lethal weapons that can eliminate mass populations of the enemy country, unquote. Sounds like a prophecy, doesn't it, of our own day? We are still arguing over whether China deliberately sprung the China virus on America as a bioweapon, as a less than lethal, beta test, but which will be followed by one more lethal and race-specific bioweapon. And Chi references Israel's work on bioweapons that kill Palestinians exclusively. And Chi hopes to develop weapons targeted towards non-Oriental races. And thus, China will be prepared to clean up America, as he puts it. And he calls these special means. I love all the euphemisms. Clean up America. Eliminate us. It dovetails very closely with a larger Chinese vision of what the Germans called Lebensraum, or living space. Now, for historical background, the Nazis moved eastward into Poland and Russia in order to displace the inferior races on the vast plains of Asia and settle them with Germans, who were then tightly packed and crowded in German cities. And Hitler and the high command considered the German people superior and entitled to this land. General Chi condescendingly notes in his speech the Germans' failure, and then he documents China's own desperate need for Lebensraum, living space. And Chi correctly notes how over the last decades, in her effort to catch up to the developed nations, China has poisoned its air and water, denuded its forests, and turned her farmland into a howling dust bowl. China's situation is quickly becoming unsustainable. Others in the West have documented this too, most notably Peter Navarro in his book, The Coming China Wars. Now, with almost 1.7 billion people, there is tremendous pressure on the Communist Chinese Party leadership to, as they say, as Chi says, lead the Chinese people to go out, an exodus, if you will, from China into the Northern Hemisphere here of the Americas. They see it as their historical mission. Xi painted an almost idyllic portrait of Canada and America as spacious and uncontaminated with clean air and water for the taking, bursting with natural resources that China needs. All that needs to be done for Xi is eliminate the pesky squatters presently occupying the land. Now, I understand. While all of this may sound strange to your ears and you remain skeptical, perhaps you will be convinced of it very soon, comrade. Likely within the next few years and certainly within the next decade, these plans dovetail with the Agenda 30 plan of the World Economic Forum. You and your children may soon meet your first Chinese trooper. Yes! And it well may be the last face you see. Right now, we find ourselves in the last stages of Sun Tzu's war by other means, as he calls it. That is, economic domination, political intrigue, and mass propagandization and demoralization. First of all, we see we are in a full-fledged economic war, number one. This is probably the most evident to Americans. China is experiencing a growth rate in its economy of almost 10% per year, and it's still falling behind the demands of its own people. And our trade deficit with China has grown from just over $250 billion in 2010 to almost $420 billion in 2018, the last for which we have full figures. 16% of all of our trade in the United States is now done with China. And China exacts a terrible price as well. China regularly undervalues its currency, the yuan, making her products cheaper and more attractive on the world market. And China requires American companies to incorporate with Chinese corporations, which are often just mere front groups for the Chinese Communist Party or the People's Liberation Army, which makes those U.S. corporations' proprietary intellectual property available to them. Then, unscrupulous manufacturers regularly counterfeit patented American products, robbing them of their profits and often their reputations for quality, too. And most importantly, China expects loyalty and obedience from American companies far outside the normal corporate boundaries, found in American companies. Take the most egregious example, Apple. Tim Cook and Apple. Apple assembles most of its products in China now and counts the country as its second largest consumer market. The author, Clyde Prestowitz, who is author of the book, The World Turned Upside Down, America, China, and the Struggle for Global Leadership. Well, Mr. Prestowitz calls CEO Tim Cook a hostage to Beijing because of Apple's extensive production operations there, unquote. Tim Cook is a hostage to Beijing. There are real consequences if, for example, Taiwan is pictured in a positive light, which Apple did for a while, or her flag is shown in memes or even mentioned as anything but a province of mainland China. Apple's app, another example, Apple's app, which allowed the Hong Kong protesters back a year or so ago to track the police, was removed from the App Store after the Chinese government complained. The examples are legion. Prestowitz shows how those companies heavily vested in China become virtual lobbyists in Congress, too, for China, at the expense of the United States. Prestowitz says about these American corporations, they don't represent American business, they represent China. Tim Cook is not afraid of Joe Biden, but believe me, he's afraid of Xi Jinping, unquote. Dear listener, China is winning the economic war. And then secondly, there is also the tactic, the nonviolent tactic, the non-military tactic of political intrigue. Political intrigue. As I have documented before, China has patiently spent several decades and several billions of dollars and patronized several avenues of human weakness in gaining control of our political and corporate leaders. Most recently, with a scandal surrounding Hunter Biden and Congressman Eric Swalwell, we are far more familiar with the Chinese honey trap, as it is called, in which a seductive spy is employed to lure the target into a compromising relationship in which oftentimes sensitive information and influence can be had on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party. But that's not all. Peter Navarro, in his book, documents the well-honed devices used by the Chinese literally for centuries to gain control of men. First of all, there's Shu Wei, which is bribery. Shu Wei, bribery. That is commission payment. Or hiring family members or consultants, quote-unquote, or giving out loans that never get repaid. Bribery is a well-honed practice of the Chinese Communist Party. Feifa Shoru, number two. Feifa Shoru, which is illegal earnings. Whenever there's a gap between one's spending and income, there's usually some hanky-panky going on, right? Illegal earnings. Dio de duo luo. Dio de duo luo, which is moral decadence. Moral decadence, another well-honed instrument. It includes the honey trap, the aforementioned honey trap, or prostitutes or mistresses, these kinds of things. Moral decadence is number three. And then number four, Yuquan Musi. Yuquan Musi, which is privilege seeking. Here we encounter the Biden and Mitch McConnell favorite move. That is favors for family friends that eventually find their way back to you. Privilege seeking. And then number five. Zusi, which is smuggling, that is trafficking in illegal goods or persons. Now, by all of these well-honed techniques, all of which we see in America amongst our politicians and corporate leaders, by all of these well-honed techniques, the Chinese have adroitly compromised and come to own almost all of our political class, and consequently, they make the kinds of demands they do for favorable legislation and practices and even pave the way for the eventual Lebensraum in the near future. These are traitors that the Chinese have turned in their favor. Well, number three, there is also that non-military tactic of steady streams of propaganda and demoralization. Steady streams, number three, of propaganda and demoralization. For decades now, the last few generations have been fed a steady diet of the virtues of socialism, right, in our schools. Or Confucian institutes dot the academic landscape, teaching ancient and modern Chinese ways and wisdom. And, of course, the aforementioned bought and paid for stooges in Congress and state legislatures and capitals, for that matter, have long been shills for China. It has even been argued that the entire lockdown response to the China virus, that lockdown model being, of course, put forward by China herself, right? That it was designed to largely destroy the U.S. economy and culture and demoralize the population through fear and control, which it has done. Very successful there. But none of this is made evident to the American people. They must be stupid cattle led down the chute of propaganda to the Chinese slaughterhouse. Xi says in his speech, we also must never forget what Comrade Xi Jinping emphasized. He said, refrain from revealing ambitions and put others off track. The hidden message is we must put up with America. We must conceal our ultimate goals, hide our capabilities, and await the opportunity. Oh, yes. Solving the issue for Xi is solving the issue of America. Oh, behold the great coming reset, dear listener. How should we respond? Then, I ask, once again, as we mentioned from last week, don't be stampeded by fear of an unseen virus into betraying your God-given immune system. Recognize this whole lockdown matter for what it is, a ploy that was created in China and acted out with some of the film we would see coming out of China from Wuhan, right? The Wuhan lockdown. And that was supposed to be a model for us. What a lie that is. Don't be fooled by the lies. We must also stop building our own slavery system for them. We're doing this on behalf of the Chinese. We buy their devices. We take vaccines. We buy from Big Pharma, eat big ag, GMO food. And we bank with the very institutions that rob us of our wealth. Stop doing this. Use the purchase power of your money while you still can and stop allocating resources to the very beast enslaving you. We must create alternatives. Number three, create alternatives to the Great Reset. Begin by supporting small local stores over the big box behemoths. Bank with local banks and credit unions, dear listeners. Support local farms and food stores, these kinds of things. Go local. Go healthy. Consciously build an alternative to the Great Reset. Do the same thing in governments. Build government alternatives to the deep state beast. Focus on local government, local elections, city councils, county boards, school boards, and eventually state governments, and get to know your sheriff, too. Very important, your local law enforcement officer. Know him, support him, hold him accountable. And finally, practice your Christian faith openly and unashamedly, dear listener. This is the first, last, and best thing to do to defeat the Great Reset. Only the Great Regeneration will defeat the Great Reset. We must preach and we must inculcate the gospel. In fact, pray for the Christians behind the bamboo curtain. Over 130 million Christians is estimated, and they will undercut this atheist vision of the Communist Chinese Party. If anyone does, they will triumph. It will be them, not the Marines, but rather those who conquer by the word of their testimony and the blood of the cross. Yes, Chairman Mao said, political power comes out of the barrel of a gun. We say spiritual power comes out of the blood of the cross, dear listener. That is our weapon. Use it to fight the Great Reset. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We do not subscribe to the Great Reset, dear listener. Come and join us for worship on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. And you can call us for more information at area code 208-523-0196. 208-523-0196.